really spoke to us about why this is the ministry. Out of Isaiah 1, to preach to the poor, to bind up the broken heart, and set at liberty the captives and all those things. There's a lot of people really that impacted them. And we're continuing on the taking up ministry. Called ministry, and tonight we're talking about taking up the ministry. And taking up the ministry and going to ministry to make a difference. And choosing to do so. Isaiah 6 and verse 7. It said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this is thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, I send me. And I just want to start with that. That's on our text today. Our text is Luke chapter 10. And turn there now, Luke chapter 10. In Isaiah, that great passage of Isaiah 6, really an amazing passage. turn to Luke 10. God asked a question, and he said, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Isaiah, I believe, was called. He also volunteered. And so he decided to go, and he took up the call of God. And Luke chapter 10, and I want to go to verse 30. It says, and Jesus answering, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of all his raiment and wounded him, and he departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that when he saw him, he passed by the other side. And likewise a Levite was who, when he was at place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Tomorrow, when he departed, he took out two and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy unto him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Taking up the ministry, grabbing the ministry and doing it, and choosing to go into the ministry. Let's pray, we'll talk about that. Father, what an honor, what a great privilege it is, what a great passage we've just read. Both of them. And Lord, any of these passages, Father, if we just left right now to read your word together and thank you, it'd be a blessed night. Even if we're just singing, it is so sweet, trust in Jesus. But now we get to look more into your word. Father, it's just a privilege to be able to preach your word. It's a privilege and a blessing to be here that does so. Lord, help us to be thankful and enjoy it. Above all, may you speak to us now. May you come. And Lord, may your message go forth according to your will and your plan. And we just commit this service and this message to you and ask you in your power and your sovereignty to speak to us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's see this story of Samaritan. And there's a lot in this story, a lot of types, a lot of things, many, many truths. There's a lot in this story. And I'm really not talking about a lot of things that we could about because there's many things in this passage alone. We could preach three sermons out of this passage and just teach on all that it's teaching. One thing that I just wanted you to notice out of this passage, I was going to give you a few points out of these two passages because today I want to talk about you taking up the ministry. If I ask you today, are you in the ministry? Would you say yes? Every Christian should be in the ministry. And I'd say you in the ministry. See, much ministry is not God's voice saying, come down and do this job right here. I mean, God is not going to call down his voice tonight and tell you to put the chairs. Okay? God does not always tell me who to witness to. You say, well, how do you know who the person witness to? Well, I start off with our breathing. And breathing, because the Bible says preach the gospel to every creature. So I've already been called. There's a need there. You don't always need some super spiritual leading in every minor detail when you've got the leading of the scriptures in general. And I want you to go in, and instead of waiting for God to give you some ministry, you like Isaiah and say, here am I, send me. I want something to do for you, Lord. I want to be in the ministry. I want to be serving people and doing your work. Number one, the Lord sometimes calls you by seeing a need. The Lord sometimes calls you by seeing a need. We see that in Isaiah 6. He saw, saying, who are we going to send? And he knew the need of the nation. He said, here am I, send me. We see in this, never see the Good Samaritan being called God to go help this man. The story of a man is walking the road to Jericho. And he is as he's walking, he gets some people jump out and they rob him and they beat him. And it literally says they leave him half dead. They took every piece of clothing off him, lying on the road, half dead, bleeding. And there he is. And a Levite walked by. one of the chosen people at the temple and take care of God's house and take all of God's, wherever they live in this, they were to do the worship and lead in the worship. And then the Levite walks by and doesn't do anything. And a priest comes along, the priest, one in the very temple, who took care of the temple, the only ones who go into the temple. The priest walks by and doesn't do anything. Now, a Samaritan walks by, sees him, and he binds up his wound. He takes him to an inn, and he takes him into the inn and has him treated, and says, anything else he needs, here's some money. If you need more, I'll pay you back for it. And he says, carry him. You don't see any kind of leading for the Samaritan to go to him, but Jesus obviously says, go and do that likewise. There's no calling of God, but can I tell you, if you leave church today and as you're on the 240th here, you see a body lying on the road and it's still alive, God is calling you to see if they're okay and see, help them. Okay? Because you are there, there's a need. You are there and there's a need. And God puts you in a situation, you see a need, all of a sudden you see something that needs to be done. We'll read other passages on that. But when you see a need, and you're there, and you're able to fill the need, God has probably called you to fill that need. Okay? If you know CPR, and I collapse tonight, and I have an attack, you called, please, to try to save me. And my wife, my kids will be rooting you up. But I have to hope. Big policy. I don't know if it's the same now. But you know, that you are there and you can do something about it, and you take up the cause. And that's important. Sometimes the Lord calls you by seeing a need. The guy bleeding there, half dead, but he's not dead. His wounds are wide open. Let me treat his wounds. Number two, compassion is a calling. Compassion is a calling. The Bible says in verse 20, if you go down to verse, let's see, 33. It says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went, bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine in his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You got the right heart of compassion that Jesus. It's just a matter of, can I get to everybody who needs compassion? Not a matter of not having compassion, not wanting to help people. It's just, I help. Listen, you have so much money, you only have so much time, but you've got a needy society. But compassion, you have a heart. Jesus saw the people, and he saw them as shepherds, as sheep have a shepherd, and they were hungry and they're faint. They didn't have food, and he said, I need to feed them. Because he had compassion, it says. Compassion in the Bible is when you see need and your feelings move you to action. Compassion is not just a feeling. If you feel compassion but don't do anything, really you didn't feel compassion. You had pity. Passion is really a vehicle which moves love to action. And compassion calling. When you see someone who needs compassion and you don't go help them, have the ability to help them, you have done God, because God gives you compassion to help people in need. That's what it is. Let me take you to the book of Jude, verse 22 and 23, second to last book in the Bible, if you want to turn there, but I'm going to read to you. It says, some have compassion, made difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hate even the garments of the flesh. It says, have compassion on some people. If I can also, you turn to the book of James. Read a passage out of James. James is just a little bit back from first. Compassion is a calling. If I'm sitting there and I see some a young man or some young lady, and they look like they have a broken life and a hurt life, and boy, I get a broken heart for them, and I go and I see, and God's moved my heart for them, God has called me through compassion to help them in the same way he calls me. I see somebody laying in the street injured. Compassion called me, and it's there for you. Boy, I heard a story, it was a couple years back, where an old man got hit in the street. He's at a crosswalk, and some car hit him and took off. And it was a very busy street, and nobody, he was laying in the road, and his leg was broken. He was okay, and no cars would stop. And nobody on the side would go help him. And finally, after I think it was 9 or 10 minutes, a car just by him, driving by, and somebody tried to go out, but he couldn't get the cars to stop, so we can go out and help this guy. Compassion is, I'm going to have compassion on somebody. Judgment, being a judged person and a person without compassion, sees the same problem. Understand that compassion sees a problem. And being judgmental and harsh sees the same problem. One says, haha, you deserve it. And one says, I deserve it, but I want to help you. One takes action. And the heart of God is always to take action. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God without compassion would have let us all go to his, ha, 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 that's what you deserve. But he took compassion, and he said, let me make a difference here. Look at James, for example. It just says it real quick. Verse 13. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Jude 16, depart in peace, and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which fill the body, what doth profit? It's obvious. Here's a sister in Christ, they're saved, they have no clothes, and they have no food, and you say, God bless you, be filled, and I hope you find some clothing. But you have the ability to buy them clothing and give them food. How can God's love dwell in you? And your faith means nothing because you didn't have action. You didn't take the action that was obviously needed. Many people and many Christians nowadays do not realize how much they can help people. Here's a saying that's really so true. Is in most churches, if you have 100% of the people there, you have 20% of the people doing all the work. 20% of the people doing all the giving. And God has blessed a bunch of them where they have the ability to give and they have the ability to do the work, but they do not. I've had times in our church, I've took somebody aside and I've said, listen, we need to raise some money for something. So-and-so needs food, so-and-so needs this and that. And the same person over and over and over will give. And I kind of, financial situation, they've talked to me, and I'll take them aside and I said, you cannot give anymore. I'm not going to give anymore. You take care of your own bills. Moment. I mean, I'm glad you want to give, but we got plenty of other people with me, and if the need doesn't get met, then it's not going to get met, but you got to quit giving. That, if every Christian had attitude, you couldn't stop Jesus Christ. If every Christian said, I the truth is, folks, many times, there's ain't there, and you got extra money, I believe if God stirred your heart and you say, I would hate to be in that situation. Man, their power is getting cut off, or their rent cut off, or the church can't run the buses this week, or whatever, the become gas, and you get sad about that, and your money, God's called you through compassion. And if you don't give to that, you're fighting against a ministry that's calling in your life. God did not bless you in America and did not bless us as a prosperous nation with all that we have, and we have money to burn on $5 coffees and weed and video games and everything, lower money on. God did not give us all that so we can get obese, get brown stained teeth from our coffee all the time. I mean, that's not what God gave it to us for. I don't mind people enjoying things. If God bless you financially and you can buy a nice car, buy a nice car. God bless you financially, you can buy a nice house, do that. If you're just burning money and you just are stuffy, listen, you ain't taking none of it with you. God has called you to compassion. And you say, well, you're saying that to get money. The offering's done. Past. I say that because you who know this heart of compassion, how can you see somebody in that? How can we see a missionary somewhere and the missionary is their family sick because they can't afford to filter water and there's dirty water in their country and they're all getting viruses and we in America sit there and not help them with all we have? Now, if you don't have money, you have money. But I believe that compassion is a calling. And when God stirs your heart to something, that means God has called you to something. And he could have walked by and said, oh, that's awful. That's so terrible. Man, that poor guy's beat up. But you know what? It's not my job. Do I look like a paramedic? No. God called by compassion. And you are a person who doesn't say to your brother, God bless you. I do hope you get some clothes and food. And doesn't do anything about it. Almost never, maybe never, but I'll say almost never, does someone come to our church, if I can get them to come to church, somebody will call me saying, if they need help, I'll get them to come to church. Almost never does somebody ever come to our church and need help and leave empty. If somebody might call me and I'll say, you know what? I don't want you to make the effort to come to church. If you'll come to church, we'll try to get it for you. I never promised them anything. And if they won't come to church, I never figure that desperate. I don't got any food. Kids are starving. Okay, come to church and we'll get you. I can't make it to church. Well, then you're starving. I could make it to any church if my kids are starving. You're hungry. And but once they come to church, we don't want to say, God bless you, be thou filled, not try to help somebody. We maybe not pay their whole bill. That's happened many times. When they come with an $800 power bill or a $2,000 mortgage, it isn't going to happen. But you know what? We always want to say, now, God bless you, I hope you're okay, but let me help you and make a difference. If you, James, we're in number two, but turn to chapter and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, is God calling me to go visit the fatherless and the widows and orphans? He just did. He just said, visit the fatherless and widows. And I understand we don't got many orphanages. We do. They do in Uganda. They do in a lot of countries in the world. You know what? If you have our moved heart for something, you see a widow. Listen, it's as simple as you see a widow. And the Bible describes a widow indeed in the Bible. By the way, a widow is not somebody who's been divorced or the biblical widow in the Bible. She's defined, I think, as Timothy and what she is. And you go by, her lawn is overgrown or a car down and she can't get somewhere or she can't drive. She's pushing a giant grocery cart. Compassion calls you to help her. Compassion. Many times I play dad for a kid and for a day whenever I can get around him and sit with him and have him tag along and do things with him. Why? Because he's fatherless and there's no dad around. And to try to help them, because I can. God's called compassion. I don't need for a little thing. I want you to go to that young man who's in the gangs and in drugs and has no dad at home, and you and take him this week with you. To I don't need that. There's a need, and I have compassion. And God called me. If you know how many times it's just an obvious need that I do something, and by the way, some I don't do when I know I should be doing it. Stirred my heart. God says give, or God talk to that person, and I don't obey sometimes. But you'd be surprised how often I don't have a box. I never heard a voice from heaven, and God didn't lead me except for it's pretty obvious. He's bleeding to death. Go clog up the womb. Remember, Miss Moffa was talking about one time she was down the road, and I'm paying attention next to her, and he was just messing, driving way too fast, and playing like he's on drugs or something. And the next interview, he went right through it and just plop into this, just T-boned a car. And she got there in her car, and a lady was bleeding. I mean, her artery was severed here. And she just started talking about it, and just half long before, and she says, you know what? I forgot about Jesus. I forgot about anything else. I just saw my hand in the wound. Say, well, what about the paramedics? When your artery severed, paramedics aren't going to make it in time. Just the way it is. And yes, you can get it and all kinds of stuff from that like that. But you know what? Trust God and go help somebody. Passion just screams you to do that. I'm not saying that if you're a 10-pound lady and two big giant guys are fighting between them. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. Don't jump between two gangs having a gang fight. I've been around those, and it's not very... I'm not a bullet stopper. You know what? When somebody is down and the other one leaves, I might go talk to them. Have compassion. Compassion calls you to do things. A good Samaritan. If you go back to our passage in Luke chapter 10... Which is in every part of this passage says this should have done. This is what should have happened. A certain Samaritan had compassion on him. And then the whole question started out, said, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 27 is, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And the man said, who's my neighbor? He said, this man walked by and saw him bleeding, and he went and had compassion on him, and he took care of him, and he was his neighbor. And then he said, go and do thou likewise. Have compassion on people if they have a need and you're able to help them. So he went and did that. Be a neighbor is very important by loving somebody yourself. See, compassion, the greatest aspect of compassion, and when you begin to learn compassion, what happens is you begin to love them as yourself and put yourself in place. One of the great things you'll ever learn to do, and you'll learn not to look down on people, if you say, what if I was there? What if I was that homeless guy in the gutter? I don't give homeless people cash, but I'll witness to them and I'll try to help them. I'll try to bring them along. What if, instead of, what if that were my child who was growing up, I got AIDS and died in Africa, and my child, and what would I want to have happen? What if that were me? What if that were my child? When you begin to think and love your neighbor as yourself, what if I was addicted to drugs? Somebody in a church walked by and said, what's wrong with you, you loser? What are you doing? No, that's not what I'd want. And the Galatians 1, ye here are spiritual. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be. In other words, treat them with meekness like you'd want somebody to. If you're being restored, you wouldn't want someone batting your head, but loving you and being kind and compassionate and merciful with you. And I want to be able to say, you hope somebody treats me like I treat people who are, if I fall someday. Because it's a sad place to be when you're falling and messed up. And you have compassion on people. God says, next, in Luke 10, financial giving is ministry work. Financial giving is ministry work. Luke 10, and verse 35, and on the when he departed, he took out two and gave them unto the host of the inn, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever spendest more, when I come again, I pay thee. Jesus specifically talks about this man giving money. He takes the man who did, and he walks, he treats his wound, takes him to the inn, puts him in a bed, and gives him, here's money for his room, take care of him, and if you need any more than that, come back, I'll give you the rest of the money. He specifies financial help. And compassion is financial help times. How many of you have been in a situation where you're in dire financially, and if someone had walked up in you, a handshake with $100, it would have meant the world to you? And how many have been in that situation? Okay, it would have meant the world. Yeah. How many of you are in it? Never mind. But think about that when you 100. Think about your pastor. No. Think about that when you have a. Think about, you know what? I felt. One time when I was going through one, it was one of the two dark times of my entire life. I was just miserable as down and as dark and miserable as ever been in my life. I remember thinking as I was walking in the hallway of college, I thought if someone talked to me right now and just said, "Are you okay?" I would just start bawling my eyes out. I'm so miserable, and I would just start weeping. Somebody care me. Somebody caring about you. Somebody being interested in you, and giving financial help, as we saw in James. Giving your brother clothes, giving your brother the money, giving your brother food if he needs it. That's one of the reasons you have a food bank. Kids always think it's for, oh, look, Triple Jack's in there. I want some. That's what it's for. And if you just want to grab food you like in there, that's not what it's for, but it's some people. So I have that because you don't want to just say, man, I hope you get some food this week, and give it to them. And so it's financial. That's good. Even a glass of cold water, the Bible says, a cup of water. Is a blessing and can be used by God and get your rewards. If you see the need and help, you're qualified. If you see the need and you can help, you're qualified. It's very important. For reasons, the Samaritan was not the most person in this crowd. You had a Levite and you had a priest, okay? Listen, we told you the priests were, but the Samaritans, Jesus was so funny because he used this and he did this because there's real racial tensions in the times of Christ. And the Samaritan people up north, and they're a mixed race, and nobody liked them. They get along good with the Romans, and many of them were soldiers of the Romans. The Jews liked them. They were pagans. The Jews didn't care for the Samaritans. It says in John 4, it says, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And it was much a racial thing that people liked Samaritans. They were the offscour. They were the race that nobody liked. Jesus, in his story, he said... Then a third guy came by. There was a priest. He didn't do anything. And a Levite couldn't do anything. Spiritual people. Samaritans were usually pagans. Jesus said, know what you worship. And for. Yet the Samaritan came along and had compassion. And he says, the Samaritan is the hero. Understand, that's 1950 going into Alabama and preaching a story, white church, and saying the hero is a black guy. It doesn't go over real well. And Jesus was saying the Samaritan was a hero. Wasn't the spiritually qualified guy? Wasn't the guy who had the a favor with everybody, who everybody liked? By the way, the man was going from Jerusalem. He was probably a Jew. And Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. He really wasn't in any way qualified to do it. But, anyway, strange enough, the Levites should never touch anything dead. If the man looked dead, I couldn't touch him anyway. Levites not allowed to touch anything. But, however, he went... And he had compassion. Can I tell you, let me just sound a little carnal here, but if I today don't have gas money to get home, which I do, I'm illustrating this, we're in the shuttle, it's got plenty of gas. If I didn't have money to get home, and you have some real sin in your life, and you give me dollars, your $20 will buy my gas. Isn't that deep? In fact, if my math is right, if you're a godly person in this room and you give me $20 and you just came off the highway and you're walking the streets in immorality and you give me $20, I think they buy $20 gas. And I think if some, can I tell you? I was able to Christ and I said a lot of sin in my life. I'm not justifying right, wrong. Wrong is wrong. But can I tell you? If someone in our church can help someone, and they're to have a lot of struggles in their life, they can actually do it. No, they're not going to pulpit. No, different. But if they can, they got money in pocket. I think Mike Ray is a pastor from California. His dad was in the mafia and a very, very bad man. And then he got saved and he still had a lot of money from all the bad things that he did. He took his money and he bought church buses for the big people. It's mafia money, literally mafia blood money. And he used to buy buses to pick people up for church. I think the kids still came to church and got saved. And you know what? I do not say you should do that. I'm just saying, you know, I might not have been the most qualified guy. He might not have been the guy who had the most quality yet. When I was a new Christian, I wanted people saved. I loved people. I still had some really rough edges. To be honest with you, I had in this pocket was my testament, and in this pocket was my wallet, and in my wallet was my can of Copenhagen. And I would go witness it with a can of Copenhagen in my back pocket. I hadn't come yet, but people were still going to hell, and I witnessed them. I'm not saying I stayed in that condition, fighting it and struggling against it. But you know what? I think that though you might not be qualified, if God can use this Samaritan, praise God. This man can't do it. He can't go to the temple sacrifices. He can't preach behind the pulpit. He can't attend a school class. But there's something he can. If he can do that, let God use. Let God use. Sometimes people have rough edges in their church and have a lot of sin in their life. And if they, you know what? They live by the person I need to pick up. And they're the same gender. And they're not weird or, you know. And they can pick them up and I'll say, can you pick that person? Praise God, they got the church. Whether it's by an angel or whether it's somebody who's still having a problem with their drinking, they still got the church. I'm not afraid to use Samaritans. They won't preach from the pulpit. They won't do highly qualified jobs like teaching school. They won't do that kind of thing. But we will use people who are imperfect and have blemishes. And if you can do the job, then you're qualified. And if you in this situation, it was great. I hope that some give me CPR, though they're not a paramedic. But they know how to push in my chest. Well, okay, be nice about it. But if you know how to, you know, listen, if you can, if I'm artery severed and you stuck your finger in there and I quit, I don't care if you got an MD. And if you can help, help somebody. Help somebody. Help even if you don't feel like you're all the way there, if you can help. Next, if there is a need and nobody steps up, then suffering just comes. Let me redo my points here. The Lord sometimes calls by seeing a need. Compassion is a call. Financial giving is a ministry work. If you see the need and you can help, you're qualified. If there is a need and nobody steps up, then suffering just comes. Let me take it to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. What are you saying, Pastor? Very simple. Samaritan walks by, the guy's dead. We read too many fairy tales and too many video games where we can push reset and it works out. We watch too many movies where it works out in the end just perfectly. Can I tell you, real life, everything doesn't work out just perfect. If you don't job, and guess what? Bad things happen. And if you do the wrong thing, listen, you do the wrong thing, if you think there's just going to be some big one, if you think that people who go on TV and say, do you have debt problems? We'll get you debt right away for free and we'll give you all. Listen. I've been counting we're getting debt for a real long time. In debt, it's not going to work out real easy. It's just really hard to get out. If you go out and you hurt somebody, you go out and get divorced, but my kids are fine. Well, I wouldn't be so quick to say. It turns out TV. Well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to take some drugs, but you know, in the end, I'll be just fine. I hope people thought that they'd take drugs. Can I tell you, if you don't do jobs that need done, if you witness that person, God may have told you to witness a person because they're going to go to hell, they're going to this week. Well, maybe if I don't witness them, soon to get to them, God may have been telling you today because I get to them right now. I've had that happen to me, where I witnessed somebody, and they died, and I didn't witness to them, and I never saw them alive again. And if you do not job, and if the Samaritan walks by, then the man's... Okay, in life, if you not do what you're supposed to, you raise your kids wrong, and they'll turn out bad. No, you know, in the end, it'll turn out okay. No, you will be taking care of grandkids that are yours. You won't wait, turns out. In Ezekiel 22, it happened. Nobody stepped up into the need they saw in Ezekiel 22. It says in verse 20, people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy, yet have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Okay, here they are. They're doing what God said don't do. The widows, messing with the poor, messing with orphans. And I sought men among them, singular. that could make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out indignation upon them, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, then way have I recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord. Listen to me. He says, I sought for one person for this nation to stand up to me and just say, no, God, I'm praying for them, and I'm praying you'll deliver this nation, and I pray you'll stop them. And God said, okay, I did it for Moses, I'll do it. I'm going to destroy Israel. And God said, you know, wicked nation, I need somebody to stop me. Somebody in this nation, stop me. I need somebody to stand up in the nation and pray for him and say, I'll stand in the... Somebody? I'm telling you, I got to destroy this nation. Stop me. Okay. And the nation is destroyed. Because he sought for a man to see the need of his nation be destroyed, stand up and say, no, God, please don't do that. And so the nation was destroyed. And the man on Jericho would have died. And if you backslide, your kill will turn out bad. They just will. I wish that when somebody just ruined their life and destroyed their life and quit going to church, that their kids just turned out great. But I've worked with probably 30,000 kids. I see what happens. And if you do not have somebody, you just say, I'm not going to witness, or you just, I am not going to pray for my family. You say, I'm not going to do this passion, or your brother is in need, and God might have put you in their path, and you say, I know the finances right now, and I know I have some extra money in my pocket, but I really want to get a supersized, and you say, I'm not going to help them. They might get evicted. Or they really might have their power turned off. Or they really might have some tragedy after kids. If you do not do the job that God has given you the ability to do, it doesn't get done, and tragedy happens. And you just, it's a simple point, but it's true in the Bible. When somebody did jobs, the person just didn't get rude. A person goes and they have the ability to help somebody and they don't help. I just want to say to you, it doesn't get done. So therefore, if we go back to our text in Luke chapter 10, I just want to say real simply, as Jesus said. See, the man who asked the question, Jesus said, if you keep the commandments, live. If you love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord, he said, but verse 29, he wanted to justify himself. That who's my, okay, I'll do good to my friends. And he's, let me tell you a story. At the end, he says, verse 36, which of these three thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Which one of these three was a neighbor? And he said, he which showed mercy on him. Then said he unto Jesus unto him, go thou likewise. I want to say tonight, can you just take the minute up of finding, and if you can fix it, do it. You say, Pastor, I would love to help that person. God has really my heart. But you know what? I don't know how to people like you do. Can I tell you? We talked about it last week. God will give you wisdom. If there's a need and God stirs your heart, the least you can do is give it a shot. Say, you know what? My heart is moved for you. Pray for you. I know you're going through time. I don't know all the answers. Maybe you need to talk to Pastor or Brian or somebody. But you know what? My heart is moved for you. Can I pray for you? You'll be shocked. That's all they needed. Somebody to care about them. And you will follow and realize compassion is a calling and do what you can do, what God's given the ability to do. Find a whole bunch of ministry you can enter into. Pray. Father, I just pray to help us to enter into the ministry. Lord, help us to be like the Good Samaritan. Lord, I think if there is really somebody in this road dying, most everybody in this room would probably stop and help them. Lord, I pray people of compassion. I pray people who life and in ministry work and in the needs of people and in finances. In every area, Lord, people have compassion on people. People's the ability to do it, and compassion is a calling. Though we might not be perfect, we might have checkered paths, we might have failed in the past, though we aren't the greatest, Lord, help us to realize we can be a good Samaritan. And Lord, thank you for picking the Samaritan over the Levite, the priest, the people who really should have had compassion. Lord, help us to realize we have a job to save where around us. In Jesus, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.